This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 6th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. And I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. And unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did. And it seems that I managed to not start the recording in time for Stephen B. to say, from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show. But it is. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together tonight, and if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, as long as it has no import whatsoever. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, yeah, we let the rest of the world deal with the issues of the day, and we just try to have a good time. Sometimes that comes with a bit of sadness, especially even at 98 years old when we hear about a passing. As we did, it happened last Sunday in Chicago. Daddy G died. And if you're saying, who? Well, shame on you if that's the case. But if you are, we're talking about Gene Barge, who moved to Chicago, but first was well-known in Norfolk. And long before anybody knew who he was a session musician there. And he was doing a number of things, including working for Frank Guida on LeGrand Records. And he was the sax player in what became the Church Street Five. And there's an interesting story about a night with Daddy G, and maybe we'll get there. But before we do, we've got Ed in Cleveland, who I think wants to talk about it. So, Ed, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, when I called in, I mentioned it to John, and he didn't know who he was.
No. See, John and I have completely different musical tastes, and he puts up with me because I am intractable. So what he learns about obscure soul or R&B is from me. On the other hand, I pity him because if he is going to play any of that late 60s garbage, I'm walking out of the room.
What is he into?
Oh, you know, like, we've got a fully signed Doors poster by our front door in one of our locations.
Okay, all right.
I cringe every time I see it.
You're not a rock fan.
No, I am. Absolutely not. I remember I had worked at a radio station. They announced they were going underground. I swear I thought they were moving. Needless to say, I didn't last. So I'm all about obscure R&B and soul and bossa nova and some pop stuff, but definitely not any of the AOR stuff, the album-oriented stuff.
And I'm in a completely different tangent. I'm into the country and rockabilly and
okay. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because in the latter 60s, where I left Top 40 long ago, wouldn't embrace any of the album stuff, and at the time, a lot of the soul stuff wasn't moving me, and so I wound up listening to country. And man, country 1969, I know every one of those records.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them.
You know, the thing, recently with country being in the news because of the Grammys on Sunday night.
Oh, I didn't see. I did not see. You'll have to tell me about it.
Well, Beyonce won the country award for her album, Carter Country.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure that raised some eyebrows, but that story has been going on since the beginning of the Music Row on Nashville, because on the one hand, they always wanted to expand outside of country, because back in the days that you're talking about in the 60s and stuff like that, you know, a number one country album might sell 20,000 units, where a number one pop mm-hmm. album would sell a million. So obviously they wanted to do that, but every time an artist did, whether it was in 1974, if you remember in the CMA Awards, Olivia Newton-John and Charlie Rich were the winners. Oh my God! You'd have thought
Bill Rich lit the envelope on fire.
Oh well, that was a year later. But yes, that was 75. But 74 when he had won, and when Olivia Newton-John won, I mean, I thought that Bill Anderson was going to have a coronary, and so of course they formed the ACE, the Academy of Country Entertainers, and
yes,
Barbara Mandrell saying, "Well, I like Olivia Newton-John, but she isn't country," and I thought after Barbara Mandrell was glittered off up in Las Vegas, I thought, but she isn't country. So, you know, they wanted it, but whenever it would happen, it would shock them. Today, country is much more mainstream. In fact, I contend it's male AC. I don't think the country that we knew exists on any level. Not right.
But, because the country that from back in then is now Americana. You know, for the most part.
Well, for people who even remember it, right. But when you listen to country today, I really think you're listening to male AC, the people who would never listen to Delilah's love songs.
Right. But now getting back to, you know, Daddy G.
Yeah.
You know, Frank Guida, you know.
Oh,
had,
yeah. He was great.
The brand record, the SPQR record.
Right.
And he had a
third
label called Romulus. Do you remember a record by a group called the Rockmasters?
Yeah, of course.
Teardrops. I can't remember the
whole. I can pull it up right here because it is a favorite.
And you can pull it up, and then you can also tell that it got ripped off by a Philadelphia group.
Well, or vice versa. You know, that's one of the fights. You're talking, of course, about the Sapphires. But for people who don't remember Raining Teardrops, I was listening to this earlier today, actually.
Really?
Yeah. So that was
six. That's a great record.
It is a great record. Yeah, it's on Romulus, as you mentioned.
My favorite soul records, Raleigh, are the ones that weren't the really, really big, big hits, and they came out somewhere between 1960, 61, and 65. In that little time period. You know, Joe Simon did a record, too, on the Hush label that was... titles and things I'm not remembering. I'm just hearing the songs in my mind. But,
The
same time.
This is a little later, but my all-time favorite Joe Simon that almost nobody else remembers is called When. Did you know it?
Not that one, but there was another one that, I See Your Face. That's the one.
Right.
On Hush.
Well, I've got that too, but here's a little of When.
Men, women, and children, that celebration. I hear the banker joking with the plumber. I see preachers smiling by the number. Everybody believe it's a wonder. Come on out and join.
Yeah, I thought it was a great song. I know, but nobody else has ever heard it.
Those records, I'll pull a third one here for you. Watch Over Her by Wade Fleming.
Oh, of course, of course. I play that. Well, I play a lot of Wade Fleming's because I love him. That Other Place is my favorite by him.
Oh, that's my favorite tune. Yeah, and yeah.
Let me get back to Raining Teardrops, the Rockmasters, because I know you're thinking it sounds like Who Do You Love, and it does, but it sounds even more like the follow up to Who Do You Love. Have you ever heard I Found Out Too Late?
I heard it maybe at some point, but.
Yeah, it's all the same record.
Yeah, I mean, well, once you get the groove, you know.
Yeah, just love them. Of course, it was a wonderful song. And that was all Kenny Gamble. If you look at the writer's credits, of course, you know, Jerry Ross gave himself some writer's credits. But if he wrote it, then I wrote it. It was obviously Kenny Gamble. But arguably that Sapphire stuff was recorded in 63, released in 64 on Swan. So I thought the same thing. Did they just rip off the Rockmasters? How could they have not? But interestingly, Frank Guida would have made noise if they had. So I'm not 100% sure what, because he wouldn't have been quiet. And he was so funny because remember when he did Twistin' Matilda and The Channel? And the funniest thing, so a friend of mine said, "What's the channel?" And I said, "Here's Frank Guida's phone number. Call him and ask." And so he did. And Guida told me, he said, "Nah, I like that Caribbean stuff." And there was a riff from a record in the Caribbean called The Channel. So I had to give it writer's credit. So that's why it was Twistin' Matilda and The Channel.
Oh, my. That one, Jimmy Soul, which I actually liked a lot better than I never liked. If You Want to Be Happy, it's just one of those. Just one of those things that just never.
Well,
it never registered with me.
It's interesting you say that. I thought it was a hilarious record, but Gary U.S. Bonds turned it down. That is who Frank Guida wanted to record it, and he heard. He said, "I'm not recording that." And so then they came up with Jimmy Soul. But the interesting thing about A Night with Daddy G is everybody assumes that they're referring to, of course, Gene Barge, killer sax player. They may not have been, because when they wrote it, there was Bishop Daddy Grace, who was a Norfolk evangelist, and his church address was Church Street. And so they thought, a number of people thought, that's Daddy Grace they're talking about on that.
Oh.
So, unknown. Now, of course, a year later when the Dovells came out with Bristol Stomp, and they said, "We rock with Daddy G," they were talking about Gene Barge. But was Gene Barge talking about Gene Barge? Well, now we're never going to know, I guess, because I don't know that anybody ever asked him. But, they took a night with Daddy G, of course, put quarter and three on it.
I know you're not too big of a fan of Cameo Parkway because of...
I'm not a fan of Cameo Parkway because of what happened when Alan Klein got it, all right? The rest of the guys from Wincote, and I lived in Wincote, so these were my neighbors. But anyway, the rest of the guys were just, 40s musicians who fell into something and all that. And I love the production on that Cameo Parkway stuff. I did love that. But when Alan Klein took it, of course, I'll always contend that it was the producers in real life, because why else would he not allow any licensing?
Well, the sound had changed, in 64 after Dick Clark, moved operations out to California. You'll notice that Cameo Parkway, they had to kind of go in a different direction. And next thing you know, they were leasing material in Michigan, Question Mark and the Mysterians and Bob Seger. And eventually they ended up in Chicago. They ended up with the label that changed their spelling every Centaur and Santar and Sutar and the New Colony 6. There was a couple of... Terry Knight and the Pack, they had Lucky 11.
Right. And of course, Question Mark and the Mysterians, all that, of course. But really, when you're getting into that period of time, you're getting away from the original Cameo Parkway. I don't think it had much to do with Dick Clark moving. I think Swan was more affected by that, to say the least. But regardless,
Swan had Link Ray. I mean, they could put out.
Well, yeah, I know. But it was Clark for a long time till he had to divest. But anyway, Cameo Parkway was never good about royalties. That's true. Bernie Lowe and Cal Mann, they screwed Charlie Gracie, And they screwed, and Charlie sued and won. But that's when he was blacklisted. Clark would never have him on again. No one would ever do anything in America again.
Yeah.
They killed him. But that early stuff was terrific. That early '60s stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, it's great stuff. It's just the fact that yeah, as you say,
well,
Alan Klein, you know, for years, you know, when he took that company over, and all of a sudden everything was in a moratorium, and you couldn't buy original Chubby Checker or Bobby Rydell.
Well, yes, that's right. And again, that's what I say. Was it the producers in action? I mean, why did Alan B. Klein not release anything? And he's no longer alive, so I can say that. But you really have to wonder what. And that caused a lot of those guys who had, you know, the Bobby Rydells of the world to lose money, because a lot of
right.
that stuff would have been licensed, and he licensed it to nobody. But in 64, yeah, you had Dick Clark moving away. But the real thing you had, as you know, you had the British invasion. And life as you know it changed. It was.
Well, you know, Cameo put out the first Kinks.
The first two singles by the Kinks.
And neither one of them did anything. And they also, I believe, had. There was another British act on Cameo Parkway, and I can't remember.
But remember, by this time, Bernie Lowe had sold out completely. He by the time the British invasion happened, he said, you know, I'm over it. And he sold his shares. And it wasn't long after that Mann and Apple did the same thing. So mm-hmm. by 65, actually, I'd say mid-65, at that point, nobody associated with the label from the start was involved. And you also
Who actually had it when Klein got it?
I'm trying to think how that happened, because there was a bankruptcy, and he got it out of a bankruptcy. And I'm trying to think exactly how that happened. It was financial problems that they had a distribution deal with MGM, and that was a mess. And Neil Bogart was head of the label. And if you remember, Neil Bogart, of course, later did very well. But they had him in charge anyway. He signed a number of people like Bob Seger and all that. And so they did the distribution deal with MGM, and that didn't work out. And then they were looking at what would they do with a merger or whatever. They were really on the market, if you were. And in 67, that's when Alan B. Klein bought it and renamed it APCO. And he got Vando and Bell.
Well, didn't Vando end up with Amy Mala Bell?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He got Bell.
Oh, he got Bell.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Oh really?
And so,
I thought Screen Gems got that.
Well, later. I'm trying to think. How this happened, because there were all sorts of things going on there.
Because at Bell, there was, I know Gail Hawkins was producing some of their stuff, and
Larry Utall had been involved.
Utall.
Yeah, and he had Madison. The Untouchables were on Madison and some others.
And Utall later had private stock, and what happened with that company was it just... I did an interview when I was doing a talk show on a small little outlet. I did an interview with Bruce Blackman, you know, from Starbucks.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that all of a sudden, one day, he went down to private stock and they were gone.
Yeah. No, I like him, by the way. That must have been a good interview. I've talked to him as well.
I'll share it with him. I should send you a link of the interview I did with him. He was funny.
But,
I mean, he told... Yeah,
but Utall basically rendered Bell dormant, and then it was revived in '64. Remember, that was the blue label that had the Bell, looked like
right.
a Bell the way it was written, and all of that. Columbia Pictures bought it, I guess, in '69. That was mostly a stock deal, I think, and
they were divesting themselves of, you know, Screen Gems. Because the Monkees were you know, breaking up, and they wanted to get rid of Cole Gems, and then but you know, when they bought all that stuff, because Bell, Amy Mala Bell had Harold Ember, they had most of the Danny Robinson labels, you know, Fire and Fury.
Yeah, no, I loved those. Those were the I thought Robinson was just terrific.
They had a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
when they bought that company, I mean, they not only was Amy Mala Bell, but all those other masters, and I think Sony owns all that now today.
You know, I wouldn't even know. I mean, what, it's probably two companies own everything or three. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, my knowledge probably stops in 64, so I don't know. But anyway, for Cameo, that was the deal. The three of them were out of that. And then, of course, it floundered and it did all those things like we mentioned with Question Mark and the Mysterion and stuff. And, you know, and there were some interesting things as well. And so, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, back to Daddy G, who after his success in Norfolk moved to Chicago and had been there for decades, to say the least. Mm-hmm. 98 years old, died over the weekend. And
what was the biggest record he produced for Chess?
Oh, he did Chess. Hang on a minute. John just said, I'm blowing the news. Don't go away. Stay where you are. All right. And we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
Sea Crane.
Oh, and I can't stop talking yet. Boy, news is really going to be delayed, and my apologies to whomever is doing that. Sincere. All right, but I need to talk about the Sea Crane Company because I love them for one thing, and if you listen to this show, you love radio. It's that simple, or you'd been gone long ago. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't been to ccradio.com, you need to go. Because this catalog is not only great products, it's great information about radio as well. It's really a repository. But the thing that Bob Crane many decades ago did, he was as disgusted as some of us were with the state of reception on current radios, particularly AM reception. And he said, I can do better. And he did with virtually every radio he came up with, and all of them have unique features. But the one commonality is terrific AM and FM reception. Period. In fact, the CC Radio 2E is a wonderful exemplar of that. Get one, put it next to your average radio, tune to a weak AM radio station on your average radio, tune to the CC Radio 2E, and it will blow you out of the water. Yeah, you will not need more than that. But in addition to that, it's got all the bells and whistles. It's got a clock, an alarm, a timer. It's got digital readout, and it's got presets and all those neat things. And of course, FM section, also highly selective and just wonderful. And some of the best clarity you're going to find. High quality audio, and you can adjust it so it'll sound like I'm sitting right next to you, or however you want it to sound. So, but the big design, long range AM and FM stations. It's my bedside companion. I just love it. Go to ccradio.com anytime. By the way, it also has the weather band and the weather alert, so it makes a good emergency radio too. But bottom line, it's got the power and the strength to bring in the signal better. It's that simple. You can go to ccradio.com, read all about it, ccradio.com. Can't go online? They've got the best customer service. And that is 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE. So you can, they'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a catalog in the mail. You can order by phone as well. But if you can go online, do it. CCRadio.com. Also available on Amazon for quicker shipping, but get the real deal from CCRadio.com. Check out that CC Radio 2E. You tell them that Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that was 1955 on Checker, and that was the first record that Gene Barge ever did for the Chess Group, and like I say, country, 1955. He later did some stuff on Checker, 65, Fine Twine, yeah, that was kind of nice, and but in answer to Ed's question, I'd be hard-pressed. You know, it's easier for me to tell you what he played on, and of course, when he first got there in the mid-60s, Fontella Bass, of course, but he did not produce it. So, I don't know, you tell me.
I don't know. Anyways, he did play the sax solo on CC Rider.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that was right after he had recorded Country for Checker. And, you know, he was really kind of seen as secondary, but why can't I think of his name? When the sax player got sick, wasn't available for that session, they used him, and he nailed it in two takes, and that really caused his, him to, in some people's eyes, really rise. But I'm trying to think of, and you know who it was too, of course, because he's world famous. But
King Curtis?
No, and that's good too, like King Curtis, but no, it wasn't.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, probably Sam the Man.
Yeah, that was probably
Sam the Man. It was absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that had happened. And by then he was doing all sorts of things. You know, he was in Norfolk teaching school most of this time too. And he did pick up work with everything and would tour, even toured as one of the Turbans for a minute there. But it was a deal where Sam the Man Teller couldn't make that session. They've had trouble finding a successful arrangement. They brought Barge in, you know, giving him a chance, and like he nails it in two takes, and boy, I'll tell you what, of course that went to number one in 57.
Oh, yeah.
And then of course Betty and Dupree and everything else. So, but meanwhile he was still teaching English in high school, and
they probably did, because you know, if you get so much work and then if you're not really out there, you know, you got to do something. And you know, speaking of Norfolk, you know, with Frank Guida, also did an interview. If you go to my Mixcloud page, it's the Rockin' Ed Show.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of interviews. I mean, that's for you and that's for anybody else listening out there. If you want to hear some of the interviews that I did a couple of years ago, speaking of Norfolk, I did the very last interview with Dickie Harrell from the Blue Caps.
Oh, is he no longer with us?
He passed in 23, a couple of months after I interviewed him.
You know, I got Christmas cards from him for years and years and years, but now that you mention it, it's been a couple of years, so that explains it. And unfortunately, he was also on my infamous callback list. But yeah, he was one of the Blue Caps, of course, and I had a very, very good friend who was a Blue Cap, Early Williams, and of course, Tex Davis. So I knew Dickie through Tex.
Yeah. And of course, don't forget the late, Bubba Fassenda, Tommy Fassenda, High School USA.
Right, of course. Oh, and how many versions are there of High School USA? I think I might have them all.
Yeah, there's 28.
Yeah. Do you have them all?
I have them somewhere, probably on an MP3 file.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
1959 on Atlantic.
You have all the Atlantic singles, right?
Yes, most of them.
Yeah,
most of them, and you know,
12 on the flip side.
Thank God, I talk about this occasionally. I was talking about it with John just recently. I used to love to go to the drive-in swap meets right about the time that kids were going back to college, because unfailingly their mother would take the records to the swap meet. And I remember one time I got like 50 Yellow Atlantics for a nickel a piece. You know, things like that. Yeah, but the only thing is, back then, I thought that would be around forever, you know, and now I'm just sorry that I wasn't more of a hound picking up absolutely everything I could, because, of course, you know, you don't find it now. But, and of course, they did that High School USA album that has a bunch of them, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an error in the Cleveland version, because he mentions Elliot. Well, there was no Elliot, there was Ellet.
Perfect.
Because if you can smell it, you're from Ellet.
Well, you know, now that you say that, now I want to go back if I ever have the time. I'll bet you there's more in the various, you know, in the 28 versions. I've never tried to audit that, but I'll put that on my list along with my desire sometime of making all the R&B soliloquies into one giant long playing conversation. But haven't gotten around to that either. Yeah. But okay, so Mixcloud, the Rock and Ed Show. I see this right here, Christmas 2024, Rockabilly Training.
I have to stop the live broadcasts on Oldies and More, because my virtual DJ is not hooking up correctly to their broadcaster. So what I figured, I would just rather do podcasts, you know, and play play stuff that I want to play, and not have to worry about a station manager saying, one of the stations I was with, they didn't want us playing Gene Vincent Woman Love because he thought he heard the F word, which is not in there.
Right. Well, it's like how many people, what they think was in the Kingsman's record. And, you know, my favorite contest, WTMA in Charleston, said, send in a postcard and we'll send you back every four-letter word in Louie Louie. They were just swamped. I mean, probably 100,000 postcards. And, of course, you got back boat and things like that because, of course, there are no dirty four-letter words. But, yeah, that was a great idea. So, in any event, I am so glad you called. So the best thing is Mixcloud.com.
Mixcloud.com, the Rockin' Ed show. There's the interview I did with Dickie. There's the interview I did with Bruce.
Okay.
There's a few other interviews. I did one with... Dodie Stevens, and she's a sweetheart. Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah.
Pink Shoelaces, and there's a few, there's a few other ones in there that I did with Big Sandy and Deke Dickerson, and some of the rockabilly guys. And then there's other music shows. I did a country show for about a month. I did a rockabilly show.
Good.
But I want to get back on there and start doing more podcasts of just old blues and old country and root stuff. And hey.
I'll look for the Dodie Stevens. Did she tell the story about how at the quote unquote height of her career she left to get married to somebody who wouldn't let her sing?
Yeah, well, that could be anybody. There's a lot of different ones.
The Dodie Stevens story is just a classic. She wound up moving to the Midwest, and her husband, his parents were absolutely hardcore, Bible beaters, and singing was a sin. So, I know. She realized later she took leave of her senses, but she got a great daughter out of it.
Just before I go, though, she had one other hit record, Dodie Stevens did.
Well, she also had stuff out on Geraldine Stevens. But
That's right. Ruby or Billy, I Gotta Go to Town.
Right. Yeah, that was under Geraldine, though. Yeah.
Geraldine, yeah.
Yep. All right, good to talk to you, Ed. Good luck. Let me know. Keep me posted.
Well, I'll call you on trivia night on Monday.
Oh, good. I'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Bye-bye. Good deal. All right. So check that out on Mixcloud. That should be fun. 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. And Ruth has been hanging on, and she's called for the last two nights, and hopefully she's still with us. Are you still with us, Ruth?
I'm here.
Okay. And you're awake. How are you, Ruth?
Thank you. Sleep is sacred. I am How Sweet It Is on the fortune cookie side of the street.
Good.
Now, I hadn't called you for, maybe almost a week's worth, except for the last couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
I was avoiding any negative radio-related radar with my voice between commercials and news reports because WGN, being Chicago and the proximity for me, I wanted the Chinese New Year's Dragon and Lions dancing to take place.
Mm-hmm.
So I let days go by so I could remove anything with that particular astrological sign of the snake.
Mm-hmm.
And then fortunately now I can use St. Patrick's Day fortune cookies to get rid of any unwanted snake residue. So what I called you for, though, for now is, and I don't know whether I want to do all three of my little looking for information,
okay,
but so many other people will be looking, to get into their telephone conversations. But I wanted to make a comment about leg cramps. I have a most fascinating story, and I'm waiting to hear how you did because you had an appointment.
Yes, I did.
And
I'll tell you all about it, but go ahead, tell me.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I experienced, and it's going to relate to some of it that you had, and then I'm going to wait to see whatever the medical community has to say. Because when I had 1 year to live with mild hepatitis and was told I was going to get a liver transplant, I did not get that, and my liver is very, very good, in good shape, from 1995. So I found solutions then, and hospitals and locations and nursing homes that had a certain pertinent effect. But back to the leg cramping. And then I also wanted information about Guinness World Records. What happens? How do you participate? Do you bring about the request on your own, or do they mandate I don't know if I should use that word, the type of Guinness record that people would enter into? Can an ordinary person come up with their own idea to get a Guinness record going?
I can go over the application process with you.
Okay. So we're going to do the leg cramps then?
Yeah. Tell me.
Okay. This is what started. We moved out of what was then known as Pilsen. It's now Little Village in Chicago. And to Cicero. Immediately, I would get leg cramps in the night, at nighttime, and they would last for hours, which is where I started listening to Franklin McCormick all night long.
Right.
5:30 in the morning, they were gone. And I would fall asleep for an hour and then get up and have to travel all the way to buses and else to get to high school late, every day late, and never told the nuns that I was getting these leg cramps all night long. And what I found was that after I graduated in 1966, so this was 4 years of leg cramps all night long, except they stopped at 5:30 in the morning.
Mm.
So the reason why I figured out was daybreak. There's a whole different spectrum in the atmosphere as far as infiltration, penetration, or something which is paranormal, which would be affecting. Now, I would say to myself back then, why? Because I get a lot of exercise. I'm walking a lot, I'm doing a lot, and I should not be getting leg cramps.
Yeah.
But I did not consult any physicians, almost avoided doctors.
So did you find out why? Did you find out why you were getting them?
Okay. Well, after I graduated, I went to summer school in Chicago, and it stopped. And then I got jobs in Chicago, and it stopped. And it never came back again. And I never consulted a physician at, 17, 18 years old. I believe it stopped because I was no longer in that same school, and it might have been someone. Now, Oprah did a show.
Okay, all right. Now, I can't hear that, unfortunately, because I'm running out of time on this. But it sounds environmental, but you're right. There could have been a mental connection as well, but I'm glad it stopped. Anyway, I will fill you in.
Well, it wasn't me. Okay. I wasn't mental over it.
Okay. Well, all right. So
and I also found that LaBaz, when it came back once or twice briefly over, 20 years, LaBaz, the breathing technique.
Yes.
Tampered it down to almost nothing.
Excellent.
So that type of Lamaze thing, addressing the muscle issue. Okay, I'll listen to what you have to say about Guinness. Okay?
Yes, I will tell you all of that. I'll tell you about Guinness. I'll also tell you about what happened to the doctor and more. But right now, I'll play commercials. So talk to you soon. Thanks. All right, and that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
So disgusted, heartbroken too. I got those downhearted blues. Once I was crazy about a man who mistreated me all the time. The next man I get has gotta promise me to be mine. I
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was the first single for Bessie Smith. That was 1923 on Columbia. It became her signature song. Interestingly, she was not the first artist to do it. It was September of 22 that Alberta Hunter released it, and then Eva Taylor released it in March of 23, and then came Bessie in May of 23. But between May of 23 and the end of the year in 23, Columbia released 13 records on her. So we'll be talking about her and more with Don and Beloit. But all right, visit to the podiatrist today, because as you know, here was my symptom. I got off the air Monday. Within a half hour, I developed what felt like this foot cramp, severe foot cramp. The only thing is, it was there for 4.5 hours. I mean, I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. I was just making noises that were guttural, to say the least, and more. And then about 5:30 in the morning, it just disappeared. Okay, end of story, right? And John said, you're going to the podiatrist. So I did today, and it turned out that I had a dislocation. Yeah, a dislocated bone. There's a lot of them in the foot, but a major dislocated bone that bottom line is, you know, he said, you're going to feel this. And sure enough, he popped it back into place, digging, you know, grabbing me and pulling. And then, of course, he had to realign every toe. Oh, God. But the bottom line is I'm fine. Now, what he also said is that it'll probably happen again. I said, oh, more good news. But in the meantime, all is well. So that's the end of the foot story. I will tell you more about the Guinness World Book of Records and how to get in there. And Don from Beloit's call, and yours too, next hour on WGN Radio.
Dome, 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 dome.
Now that you let me, I'm all alone, looking for someone to call my own. But you've gone and you left me standing all alone.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1958 on the King label. Sergeant Pappy wanted to hear the Temptations doing Standing Alone. Not the same Temptations as you'd know from Gordy. Actually, also not the same Temptations as a white group who did rockabilly from Bayonne. And that caused King to have to change their name. So the Temptations in question here became the Van Dykes. And they were a Hispanic group from Brooklyn. And Standing Alone, interestingly, yeah, it was the A side. But the other side, Roach's Rock, was probably the most popular of any of them. So there you go, Sergeant Pappy, the Temptations. All right. Yes, and again, not those Temptations. All right. So let's speak for a moment here about the Guinness Book of Records, because I don't know if Ruth is planning to get in or try, but here's the deal. Before you do anything else, you have to fulfill all of these criteria. A, it has to be measurably objectively. So what's the unit of measurement? And so it can't be a subjective variable like beauty or kindness or loyalty. It has to be something that can be objectively measured. Then next, it's got to be breakable. Can the record be broken? The titles must be open to being challenged. Then, is it standardizable? Can this be repeated by someone else? It is possible to create a set of parameters and conditions that all challengers can follow, and you've got to do that. Because if you're doing a one-off that nobody could possibly duplicate, it's not going to get in there. Then, verifiable. The claim has to be proven. Will there be accurate evidence available to prove it occurred? And then, based on one variable. Is the record based on one superlative and measured in one unit of measurement? So it can't be like four different categories. And then, of course, the best in the world. Has anybody else done better? And so if your record suggestion meets all of those, then that's the minimum. Now, the things that you cannot be, obviously you cannot endanger or harm animals or people. Also, you can't cause potential harm or danger to spectators. Not excessive eating. Now, all of the eating records are limited to short time periods and small quantities of food, such as the fastest time to eat 3 cream crackers or something like that. Food wastage. Any record relating to food has to follow strict policies regarding food consumption and donation. Then consumption of alcohol. Nope. Can't have any part of drinking or binge drinking or speed drinking. Absolutely out. It can't be an illegal activity. And you can't apply if you're under 16. So now we're going to assume for a moment that you've gotten through that. All right. So now how to apply? All right. So you've got what it takes to be a record holder. You can get online, and there's actually, before you do anything else, read the Beginner's Guide to Getting a Guinness World Record Title. And there's a variety of application types for individuals and for businesses. Consultancy services for organizations, standard applications for individuals, which I think is what Ruth would fall under. And in that case, when you're an individual, not a group or a business, and you're trying to do this, it's a self-service option where you can submit your application and evidence, of course. You'll receive guidelines in 12 weeks. Then the review of evidence will happen within 12 weeks. And then once your application is underway, it takes 2 weeks to get a response to any questions you might have. Not available for promoting a business, service, or an organization. So new record title suggestions involve a non-refundable administrative fee. It's $5 if you're looking for a new record that nobody's broken before. Now, of course, it's a little different if you want to break somebody else's record. So you can log in and register online to access the record database, so you'll know what you're looking at. Find the record that you'd like to attempt. And if the record is active, they're accepting applications. It's going to have an apply now button. So select it if it sounds like it's the record you're trying to attempt, and then you'll get to the online form. Then complete and submit it. And that's the deal. Again, you're going to take up to 12 weeks to receive the guidelines and the rest of the stuff and all that. And then you complete and submit the form. And then you can choose if you want to purchase a priority application, which means you'll get your guidelines in 5 working days, charges apply, or a standard application, which will take you 12 weeks. So that's the deal. All right. So that's what you have to be. All right, 888-876-5593. I'm glad we had this conversation. Don in Beloit, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley. Hey, thanks for playing that Bessie Smith Downhearted Blues. That's neat.
Yeah, it is. Is her signature song first released, but like I say, she was not the first person to do it.
Right, okay. Was that a Queen Latifah version that you played?
I played Bessie. Know.
Okay, it didn't sound like an old 20s recording.
That's because I picked one that they went through, because there are movie rights and all that. I picked one that was enhanced for that. So it was, but yeah, that was not Queen Latifah.
Okay, Queen Latifah actually did a pretty good straight up old version of it. That's really actually pretty good.
Yeah, no, you can get a lot of this now because there's been attempts in movies and TV and all that, so you've got a lot. I didn't want to play it right from the 1923 shellac. It was bad enough when I did that with the Checker release earlier. You don't want to hear two in a row that are that bad. But it's interesting because 65 people recorded this song and continue to record this song. So, Queen Latifah, you mentioned, did it in 2015. Ellen Jewell did it after that, and a couple other people. But you've got everybody and their brother, pretty much, who did this song at some time or another. But it did become one of the real blues standards.
Yep.
Ella Fitzgerald did it in 64.
Oh, yeah. I always like following up with you with little little things here and there, but I mean, I'm laughing, but there's so many of us called in about the horrors of the Philadelphia medevac plane crash, into the ground, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And we still don't know.
Yeah.
It's a shock all the way around, but like 44 homes have some damage and what is it? Something like 11 are absolutely totaled. So, Cottman Avenue, 8 feet deep. That's where they found the cockpit recorder.
I wanted to give a I thought we should all, you know, give a shout out. This amazing, out of the horrors of that terrible story, this little 10-year-old kid is in the back seat with two of his siblings, and the dad takes him to Dunkin' Donuts, and they see the fireball, and the dad backs up the car or whatever as quick as he can, and the kid, he saves his sister. This 10-year-old saves his little sister. Andre Howard III, according to AccuWeather and CNN, he jumps over, he shouts at his sister, jumps over her, and then he gets a shard of steel right in his skull.
Right. He had surgery. And the first thing he asked when he got out of surgery is, how's my sister? Yeah. And that was, by the way, after his father assured him he hadn't missed the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just such a loving story that I thought we just had to share.
I think there's quite a few that are going to come out like that. There were some incredible stories all the way around. But you know, again, the things you can never imagine happening. How that happened is still completely up for grabs, because literally less than a minute in the air, it just nosedives to the ground. There's a story here, and I hope we're going to hear it.
Yeah. You mentioned foot, podiatry. I noticed a lot. I've actually had a lot of foot little problems here and there. And 25% of your bones are in your feet.
Yes.
You might find, and as I often do, there's a lot of foot exercises. So when I get up in the morning, right by my sink, I have this like roller thing that I can roll my feet. Mm-hmm. I can put my body weight kind of on it and roll my feet.
Yeah.
And people use golf balls and tennis balls.
No, I've got rollers, believe it or not. Yes.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It just kind of like makes me feel a lot better to wake up that way. And I don't know. I just thought I'd give a shout out that kind of helps sometimes.
Yeah. No, I don't know. This is the first time I've ever actually displaced an entire bone, but I did it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it all worked out.
Yeah, it's fine.
And, you know, obviously I play a lot of hockey and do sports, and I play a lot of night hockey, and like, you know, a few times a year I'll get the cramps in my leg and my calves, and I know it's the lactic acid. You know, I've done all these things. I didn't drink enough. I always know I have it like to the ounce. If I don't drink like between a pint and a quart, it's stupid. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to drink water or something. Then I'll drink a little bit. I'll walk around my bedroom and I'll be fine. You know, it's for me, it's always dehydration. Always.
Well, that's
always,
very
always,
common.
Always.
If it's not dehydration, it's usually electrolyte imbalance, either magnesium or potassium. Yeah. Those are the big ones.
Sure.
But you know, the thing about cramps, as you know, they go away relatively quickly. So when this one lasted 4.5 hours, I thought, this is not a cramp. So that's how
that's weird. Yeah, I got to agree with you there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So he was very nice, but he wasn't encouraging. He said, yeah, it may happen again. Oh, great. Thank you. He looked at my bones. He looked at my feet. He looked at my knees. This may happen again. Said, okay, I'll let you know.
What's it called? I'm sorry, your thing that you do each year for like your secret crush songs that you like?
Guilty Pleasures. Guilty Pleasures.
Yeah, they're Guilty Pleasures. Well, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but when you were mentioning Olivia Newton-John, is of course a fantastic example of crossover, you know. But my guilty pleasure, I never called this in to you, but I was always going to talk about Anne Murray. You know, I was always kind of like smitten for her. And oh my goodness, I mean, she's got like a zillion crossover hits. Both sides, in U.S. and Canada, country and pop. And
there is actually an Anne Murray record I adore. I should have mentioned it because it absolutely is a guilty pleasure, because I have no reason to like this record, but I absolutely do. Her version of I'm Happy Just to Dance With You, the Beatles song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just love that. And so there's a guilty pleasure. Why should I ever admit that? But yes, that's true.
That's true. Another request, like before Christmas, I was really, really studying this song. I don't know, for some reason, I was headed down to New Orleans, and I the whole month I was studying all kinds of different versions of That's Life. You know, Frank Sinatra, famous, of course.
Yes.
The story is amazing. It's just an amazing story how he, like, hears it on the radio and stops the car and calls his daughter and so on.
Yeah.
He finds out who's got the song rights, and then records it with that same group that did Strangers in the Night with him.
Yeah. Well, you know, James Brown also recorded it.
Oh, it's a great version. Yeah. That's a really good version.
There are 190 people who have recorded it, including O.C. Smith, by the way. But I don't think it was the O.C. Smith version. I think when Frank Sinatra heard Marion Montgomery do it, which was the first release, that probably did it. But then Della Reese did it, and Big Maybelle, and Shirley Bassey, and, you know, Nancy Wilson. It's just one of those pop standards. But yeah, O.C. Smith had the second version of it.
In fact, I think there's two live James Brown versions that he recorded. I think live at that famous live album. He's got two live albums.
Much to the dismay. Oh, that was such a fight at King Records. Sid Nathan, who owned King, did not want him to do a live album. It's a whole long story. But anyway, yes, he did, and it was very successful.
I actually saw James Brown like within a few feet of me. The whole review, the whole thing, right at Toronto Stadium, like right in front of me.
Well, I'll tell you,
100,000 police fans right behind me.
There's probably nobody who was a more dedicated performer. Period. I mean, this guy was going to put on a great show no matter what. And, you know, he would fine his band members if they were in any way off, period. He said, people paying money to see me, they're going to get what they paid for. And
he was particularly vicious on his saxophone and horn players.
Yeah, he was vicious on everybody. But there probably are a couple live albums. So, like I say, Sid Nathan did not want to do those live albums.
Well, maybe next week, Aretha Franklin to Lady Gaga. I mean, Alicia Todd, by the way, is one of my favorite versions of that. But is there a favorite version of that? Maybe you can play it next week.
I don't have a favorite version, but I'll find one that I'm willing to tolerate. It's a song. I don't mind it. It's just not one of those songs that floats my boat where I say, oh, my God, I love this record. I just don't. But there are some, you know, decent versions of it, of course.
Sure.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
You have a good show.
You too. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Laura in Willow Grove. We've got Jeffrey in Alsop and Eduardo's in Tampa, and there's room for you on WGN Radio.
I want you, baby, from time to time, but you just wanna listen. I'll pay me no mind, so I'm moving on. Cause I'm moving on.
Keep moving on.
I'm rolling on.
Roll on.
You're flying too high from my little sky, so I'm moving on.
Moving on.
Someday, baby, when you had your play, you're gonna want your daddy, but your daddy will say, keep on moving.
Keep moving on.
Keep rolling on.
Roll on, roll on.
I'm through with you. Too bad you're blue, cause I'm moving on. Take the throttle in hand and take me down to that southern land. Keep moving on.
Keep moving on.
Keep rolling on.
Roll on, roll on.
You can ease my mind if you get me there on time. Move on.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It was Dave in Chicago who said, I want Ray Charles, I'm moving on. All right, 1959 on Atlantic. Yeah, I like most of his Atlantic stuff. And of course, when he went to Ampar, Atlantic started to, in a flurry in the early 60s, reissue everything else they had. But so that's the deal. Hope Dave heard it. Hope he liked it. So we'll get to Laura and Willowbrook. But real quickly here before the news, I think Jeffrey and Alsop has some requests. So, all right, Jeffrey, what do you want to hear?
Yeah, well, just two songs. One, have you ever heard of a song called Cry for a Shadow, 1960, an instrumental?
Cry for a Shadow? I don't know. Who did it?
It was done by the Beatles.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Because it was probably the first song they ever did, but it was just an instrumental.
Yeah, I found it here when I looked it up. It was... that's interesting. Was it released here? Yes, on MGM. Okay, now that's interesting. It was, I'm glad to hear something else was on MGM, because usually it was just My Bonnie and When the Saints Go Marching In. So, it was the flip side of
Why. It was
Why.
By Harrison and John Lennon.
Yeah.
Harrison and John Lennon.
Yeah, apparently I could get this. But no, I've never heard it. Not a Beatles fan. Never heard it. But I can find it probably.
And the other one was Chantilly Lace with a Big Bopper.
Okay, all right. All right, I'll do them sometime next week.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll find out what's going on in the world at large. We'll get back to Laura in Willowbrook and then Eduardo in Tampa and hopefully you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Robin James, and that was Cindy in Chicago's request, Del Shannon, Keep Searching. That was after left Big Top 1964 on Amy. All right, so 888-876-5593. Laura is in Willowbrook. So, Laura, what's going on tonight?
Hey, Raleigh, it's good. It's cold, but hey, it's winter, so what are you going to expect, right?
You betcha.
Okay, well, first thing, while I was waiting, I wonder if you wouldn't mind one of these days playing a song for me. Now I got a it's called I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos.
Okay,
is that
sure.
An okay song for you?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Cause I really like that and I really like that song.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I had the most interesting thing happen to me this week and I'm kind of scratching my head. Okay.
Yeah.
I turned 65 this year and
happy
for some
birthday.
Reason I've been Thank you. And I've been wanting to get a hold of people that I haven't talked to in a while.
Uh-huh.
And every few years, I try to find this person. Let's just call her Dawn Smith. That's not her name, but it's like a common name.
Okay.
So, and I'm looking her up on Facebook because I'm like, well, I don't know how the heck else to find her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking her up, and there's like a ton of people with the same name.
Of course.
And, of course, I couldn't find any pictures with these people or the ones that are in Illinois. So I like, well, I don't even know where she lives anymore. So I thought, oh, heck, you know. So I went to a buffet the other day, and maybe just call it karma, or if you give something, you get something back. I kind of put this in that category.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a buffet the other day, and kids, for some reason, kids in my area, they like to run around and not behave and all that.
Okay.
So these bunch of kids were there, and they're, like, really being so well-behaved. And I thought, you know, they have those machines where you put a quarter in and you win a prize or something.
Uh-huh.
I thought, I'm going to get some quarters, and I'm going to give them to these kids. So, of course, there was about 10 kids around, and I asked the parents. I said, it's okay if I give the kids a quarter for the machine. And, okay. So, and, you know, I don't do things to get something back. I just, sometimes I just like to...
Yeah,
put kindness out there. So I'm on the internet, Facebook, and this person sends me, they says, hi, are you Laura at my old address? She puts my old address on. She's like, did you live at such and such? Are you Laura? I almost fell off my chair. I haven't talked to her or seen her in 50 years. And she's this one, like Dawn Smith, that I've been trying to get a hold of. I'm like, how the heck? Or why or how did she find me? I mean, I'm on Facebook in my picture, but what the heck made her look me up? So I'm thinking maybe this, hey, maybe the karma, I gave away these coins, maybe something good came back. Because I'm just got my head scratching. Like, how the heck did she want to find me and how after 50 years?
Wow. That's quite the story. Now, but this isn't the person you were looking for.
Yes, it was.
It was. Okay.
Yes. Well, and I'm so leery, I thought, okay, well, how do I know this is really her?
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So I'm like, okay, I asked her, I says, well, what was my brother's name? And she couldn't remember because he's 5 years older and she didn't hang out with him.
Right.
But then she says, well, you know, your dad used to own racing dogs. I thought, yes. And she says, and we went on a vacation in Michigan and saw live bears out in the wilderness. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's her. It's, that's the only person that would know this.
Yeah.
I'm still in shock.
Wow.
But she's in Georgia now, so I got to get a hold of her. And I hope good stuff happens to everybody else out there, good health and everything else. But it just shocked the heck out of me.
That's a wonderful story.
Happened.
Yeah, no, that is a wonderful story. Yeah.
So
all right.
I can't. All right. Well, have a good night, you and
right,
John
you too.
And everybody
Thanks.
Else.
Thanks.
Okay?
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay. Yeah. How neat when you find somebody that you've been looking for a long, long time. So, yeah. And especially when they have common names, or if it's a female and you know they've gotten married and you know, well, the last marriage was over. Well, is there another one? And yeah, and on and on and on. All right. So let's see what Dave in the North Side has to say for his bad self. What's going on, Dave?
Hello, how are you? I appreciate you playing that song for me.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad you heard it.
Yeah. I wanted to... I'm getting an echo. When I'm talking to you, it's repeating me.
Huh. Well, I'm hearing it without a problem.
Would that be because I'm on speaker?
Well, you shouldn't be.
All right, let me take it off.
Yeah, no, and people should know that. Anytime you're calling a radio show or whatever, you don't want to be on speaker.
I have trouble hearing the phone when it's not on speaker, so yeah. I listen to it.
Yeah, all right. So here we are now. Better?
Yeah, at least, how about now? Let me see.
Well, you're fine at my end.
Yeah, no, it's still repeating at my end. I'll just try and deal with it.
Okay.
I wish I could put you back on speaker.
Well, here's what I can do, though. Are you calling on a cell phone?
Yeah, that's all I have.
All right. Well, let me have you just call back, because sometimes that'll fix your problem as far as the feedback. So call me right back.
All right.
All right. So that's the easiest way to do that. Yeah, cell phones are only half duplex, and that creates problems as well. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for that, let's see what's going on with Eduardo. Eduardo in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Hey, Riley. Hey, before I get into the safer, I got to ask, I bet you and John might have this. It's called the shielding suit. I saw this in Daily Mail. It's made out of silver to block radio and microwave waves.
Oh, no,
it also
kidding.
Protects you from bacteria.
Oh, that's great. I don't know anything
Bali
about
back.
It. All right.
Yeah. Bali back costs 3,900 euros.
Okay. Well,
and you can't even see it. They can't see you in the dark, you know, like if they're trying to do, I think, infrared.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Bali back, VOLLEVAK. It's a British company.
Okay.
They got a lava-proof jacket, and they're working on a invisible cloak.
Yeah, here I'm shielding jacket. Okay, how about that? And
yeah.
and shielding pants. Well,
shielding pants. Yeah.
They also have a shielding suit. Now I won't claim it's the most attractive thing I've ever seen, but but yeah, if you're looking for the entire tinfoil suit, you can get that.
Yeah, lost in space.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Blocks out
funny.
Radio waves and microwaves from 0.2 gigs to 10 gigs. Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, Ku band, and all right. Well, how about that? And
I really wonder if you can really be protected from, like, if you're walking in Hawaii around those volcanoes that sometimes spill out the lava.
It won't have anything to do with that. This supposedly is just knocking out frequencies. You know, and I say supposedly, because there's a lot of things on the market that'll protect you from electromagnetic waves. And, you know, will they really? Well, a lot of them won't.
Oh. Yeah.
So,
it's a pretty interesting gadget. So,
yeah, I love it.
They got
a phone shielding pocket. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, what I should do is look for a microwave shielding and see if there's anything less expensive. But there you have it. Yes. Yes, $3,295. You too can be. Yeah, right. Oh, man. All right. So, yeah. Okay. I'll just be moving on.
Yeah. Well, I went to the state fair today. I took the family. It was pretty good. It was my first time going there. You get to see the animals, get to taste the food, and there was a expo hall. They had some art out there. So it was a nice day walk there.
Wow.
Very, very nice. Yeah.
Okay. So this wasn't county. This was the actual state fair off of I-4?
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So today was the first day to run for a week and a half.
Yeah, sure it will. All right. Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
That was a little trek. That was a slight trek for you. It wasn't all that close. So.
Yeah. And I got to see the rabbits, the ducks, the turkeys, all that. That was pretty nice. They had cows there. They had, like, competitions.
Right.
So.
Right. And it's not pricey. I think it's like $12 a person or something, and seniors are cheaper. So it is not pricey, which is nice. So, yeah, Highway 301, Tampa. All right. So how about that? And they claim they have new food. What new food do they have? Baked ziti.
Oh, I don't know.
Wait a minute. Baked,
that was my first time there.
All right.
I mean,
baked ziti on a stick.
There. I mean.
Yeah. No. Baked ziti on a stick. Okay. Or not. Barbecue.
Funnel cake.
Stuffed waffle. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Chicken and waffle funnel cake. Uh-huh. Chocolate-dunked Bavarian donut. Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. Did you eat while you were there? Fried?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you didn't have the fried pickle mac and cheese, so what'd you have?
I had the Brazilian chicken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to gourmet chocolate bacon cheesecake? All right, there's four words that don't belong together.
I can't imagine how many calories I would put on.
Yeah, all right. Pretzel rolled corn on the cob. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, all right. Seafood boiled stuffed potatoes. Some of this looks good, actually. So, all right, so good.
Yeah,
so,
I might go back, yeah. I mean, it's a week and a half, yeah. I might go back, so.
So did you see any of the did you see any of the big animals?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw a camel. There were cows there, rabbits, turkeys.
Well, I'm sure the cows and the rabbits and things, that would be a contest. Now, I guess they do camel rides, but I don't think they're having any, like, camel contests, I don't think. But you can...
No.
You can ride them. They got a picture of one here. It's a Bactrian camel, a two-humper. All right.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a dromedary.
Yeah, when I was there, they were... In one of the barns, they had some kind of competition with the cows. So
yeah, that's the big thing that 4-H and FFA, you know, they get their, which I think is terrible because, of course, they raise the animal and, God forbid, they name it, and then they win a prize and sell it. Yeah, and they know it's going to be food. But, yeah, the livestock barns, that had to be nice.
Yeah. It's good to see some of the... some of the animals with their eggs, you know, now they're getting, you heard the stories where they're getting that so they can have their own eggs instead of going to the store to get the eggs.
Right, because they had the rabbit and poultry barn, so yes. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good. That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely would go back, so.
Yeah. Well,
I go back, yeah.
It's going to be there till the 17th. You got time.
To the 17th, which is President's Day.
Yeah.
I think they let the kids go free, they said, on party on that day because it's President's Day.
So, it looks like there's a lot of fun. Good, good. Well, glad you got to go. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the weather was nice, yeah.
Florida always has the county fairs in virtually every county, and then, of course, the biggie. They all come together for the state fair, so that's nice that the fairgrounds were close to you.
Yeah, that was drivable. Yeah, it was easy to get there.
Yeah, right. Good. Good. Well, good deal. Yeah, I remember once going to the Dade County Youth Fair, and I was too young to drive. So there I am trying to take buses in Dade County, Florida. Different bus lines, of course. Well, anyway, I left my house at 9 in the morning. I got to the fair right about an hour before closing. That's how long it took. So I realized I was never going back until I could drive. And of course, by that time, I didn't really care if I went or not. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. 9 a.m. and it's 4 p.m. and I'm arriving at the fair. Something went really wrong here. So yeah. All right.
Did you ever go to Ruskin?
Ruskin.
Yeah. That's in Florida.
Yeah, no, I know it is. It's unincorporated. That's West Coast. That you know, I do know. It's Hillsborough County, so it's not far from you.
Yeah. The reason I mentioned is because I saw this in the news where they're doing I guess they had damage from the hurricane.
Sure they did.
The last hurricane.
Yeah.
So they're rebuilding the drive-in theater.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah. I saw them doing that. So that might be worth checking out, too, later on once they fix it up.
No, that's the family drive-in. It used to be called a family drive-in.
There you go, yeah.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good for them.
Not exactly worldwide, you know.
Well, I'm glad that it's still in existence because, you know, so many places went out of business about 12 years ago when they changed the technology. And it was almost $1 million to retool. And so many drive-ins just gave up. And they had a contest about this. And it turned out that I think the winner was in suburban Chicago where they got a whole free system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the deal. For many of them, it was just way too expensive.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'll definitely be on the lookout when it reopens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give my field report on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear all about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, good deal.
Yep.
Thanks.
Have a good week,
everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a deal where fans of the various drive-ins would have to write in about which drive-in they wanted to be, and I forget, I know it was in Illinois, but I'm forgetting what the drive-in was now, but they got retooled with an entire system for no money. Otherwise, pricey. All right. So it is time, and we are going to get to, let's see, Dave on the north side, we talked to Russ in Des Plaines, and yeah, Dave's back. We'll see how his phone's going, and let's see what Russ in Des Plaines and David in Winthrop has to say for himself, and we'll pick it up right there. But first, the time has come. I know you've been waiting. Yes, all of Twitter. It is time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is the Five Satins, and Sergeant Pappy wanted to hear Tell Me Dear. Few people do, actually, so happy to play it. 1961 on Ember. All right, so it was the McHenry drive-in, the McHenry Outdoor Theater, and in 2013 they won the projector. It was like an $88,000 projector or something like that, and it turns out that McHenry wasn't the only one. There were five initial winners. One of them was in Portland, I think, and then I understand they gave away four more, but so this was really make it or break it, because McHenry Outdoor probably would have had to close otherwise. The owner had tried to do a crowdfunding thing and just fell short of the goal. So instead he asked for votes, and that's the way it worked. And so this was really a make it or break it time for drive-in theaters, because the switch was from 35 millimeter film to digital. And that of course is cheaper for the studios and the distributors. And so, it was a situation where by the time Honda was having this contest, you were either going to retool or you were going to stop being a drive-in. And voters willed McHenry Outdoor spot among the five winners. So that is great. All right, 888-876-5593. And Dave called back, so let's see how the phone's treating him this time.
Yes,
that's you.
How you doing?
Yes, except we're about to have the news. Now, are you no longer feeding back on yourself? Can you hear yourself?
Yeah, no.
All's good?
I think so.
All right, then hang on. I'll talk to you right after the news. Don't go away. And we'll also talk to David in Winthrop Harbor and James on the south side and Russ in Des Plaines and you too coming up on WGN Radio.
Darling, your love in return, make this fire in my soul, dear, forever burn. My heart's at your command, dear, to keep love and to hold. Making you happy is my desire, dear. Keeping you is my goal. I'll forever love you. The rest of my days, I'll never part from you. And your loving way.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it was Bonnie and Butternut who wanted to hear Johnny Ace pledging my love, 1954 on Duke, and of course that's the year, sadly, that he playing Russian roulette, or was he, killed himself in Houston, and of course it was really in some ways a posthumous hit because it just became huge after that that death. All right, so we're talking to Dave on the north side, who now has his phone under control. So what's up tonight, Dave?
Hello, how are you?
Yes.
First, thank you for playing my music.
Oh, sure.
I guess you like Ray Charles. I wasn't expecting you to play it so soon because I know there's a lot of people that had requests in front of me.
Well, they don't go in order necessarily.
Yeah, because I hear Cindy, so I thought for sure you'd play a few of hers before you got.
Well, I played one of hers tonight. I'm not sure, but I will. I'll play one of hers tonight in this hour for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you have some interesting topics so far tonight. They were interesting. I got an idea. I wonder if maybe you can help me with.
Let me hear it.
I think. To begin with, I've talked to people about this before, and the problem, they tell me, is a copyright infringement act. So this has to do with music. I've thought about a website, and I basically want it to be like a translator. Kind of like similar how, you know, you can translate English to Spanish with your cell phone now. I don't know if you know, there's an app.
Of course there is. No, I know. No, normally when we think about translators for radio, it's like taking an AM station and using an FM translator. But all right, so you want to do this online, and yes, I can tell you right away that it's going to be quite pricey. But apart from that, okay, what are you going to do with the translator?
Well, the thing I want to translate is I want to translate sheet music from If you've read sheet music, you know it's like on lines and there's like little dots and.
Yeah, I know what sheet music looks like. What do you want to turn it into?
A lot of people don't. So this starts to become a foreign language when you start to talk music with people. So I just like to make sure people are clear what I'm talking about. You see the dots and you figure out what notes they are. Well, I'd like to have something that can translate what sees the dots and say that's an A minor. Or that's C sharp or so on.
So do you want? Are you saying you want to do it for the visually impaired who can't look at it?
I want to do it for everyone.
Well, but anybody who was interested in music certainly could learn how to read it. There's all sorts of things. There's probably things online. You know, you look at the scales and all those things. So I'm not 100% sure there's a need for this unless you otherwise cannot see it.
I play with
believe me, for under $10 delivered, there are basic guides for how to read sheet music, you know, things like that. There's a lot of them.
I'm like an amateur musician. I play horns in that, and I go to like jam sessions and stuff, and almost every musician I've ran into here in Chicago learns by ear.
And there's there's a real dichotomy in terms of studio musicians across the country. For instance, in Nashville, it was totally by ear. No one was reading. On the other hand, in Los Angeles, everybody could read. So, but there's even stuff online, like I think it's musicnotes.com has how to read sheet music step-by-step guide. So it's there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I basically, I want it for myself, but I want it for anyone, you know.
Well, anybody, what I'm trying to say is the people that you want to reach, if they want to do this, there's a lot of resources for it. They may be rejecting it not because they don't have resources, but because they just aren't interested. But, you know, anybody who's spent 10 minutes in music knows every good boy deserves fun and FACE and all that. I mean, all that stuff for the treble clef. And good boys do fine always. And all cows eat grass for the bass clef, you know. I mean, so that kind of stuff is really, really basic. And, of course, there's a little more to it. And you can certainly learn it online. But I have a feeling that you're trying to reach an audience that doesn't care to read it.
Maybe. And I want it for myself as well as for anyone else. Because
well, for yourself, you can go online right now and do it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't have internet.
Then whatever you're trying to do wouldn't matter anyway, because it would only be propagated on the internet.
Oh, yeah, I get that. But
so,
I mean, like, right at this moment,
yeah,
create the website.
Yeah, well, there's just no need for it at this point. If you're interested, I'd say get online and look at some of these sites.
But it's the reason why I bring it up, and everyone's always like, you can't do it because of copy infringement rights.
Well, firstly, as far as reading sheet music, it's not about copyright infringement, because you don't have to read things that are copyrightable. You can read things in public domain.
That's what I thought. So,
but it has to be things that are in public domain.
See, with me, I am, you know, not being able to see, I can't read the sheet music.
Right.
And, I mean, I know I'm learning by ear. You know, I could pull my horn out right now and play something for you. But the thing is, if by learning by ear, I got to match the notes, and then I have to figure out the rhythm, and I have to play along. It could take me like 6 weeks. And if I could read the music, I have someone to translate or tell me, a teacher, you know, tells me, like, this song has these notes in it, I can pick it up in 5 minutes.
Right. Well, there again, the fact that you can't see it, yes, it would be a wonderful resource if there was a way to transcribe it, so to speak, where you could in some way be able to get it. But for people who can see, the basics are all online, period.
See, the other thing, I can read, like, first grade. I never got past first grade Braille, so I can't read music in Braille because they make you learn to read all these computerized and all these other different types of shorthand Braille before you can get
The contractions and all that. I understand. But you know, that's interesting that you were resistant to fully learning Braille. Well, that's the same thing with a lot of musicians who are resistant to learning to read music. It's the exact same thing.
I knew you said.
So, not nice thought, but no, I'd say don't worry about anybody else. Help yourself first.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no time to think about setting up a website. At least that's the way I take it.
Okay. I heard, I didn't hear. I talked to a friend, and they said you played my other two songs, Ray Charles and
yes.
Little Milton.
Yes, I played both of them. See, you're not online, so you can't go pull the shows. But I did play them both. But yeah, if you're going to request things, you kind of have to make yourself a dedicated listener because you don't know when they're coming up.
Yeah, the basketball game went late, and I fell asleep.
Yep. Well, I didn't play them last night, so I did play them, though. I will play more if you have more, but if you're not going to be listening, then probably I shouldn't.
Yeah, no, I had heard you played on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I didn't expect, I was thinking maybe I should have told you play them a couple of days. It was like late at night, so I was surprised.
Yeah, it was Tuesday night. I played Little Mitten Blind Man and Ray Charles, Hard Times, No One Knows Better Than I. So I played them both.
I wanted to ask you, is it because of your license? Or I want to know why you don't play the songs all the way through.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Absolutely. As a talk station, WGN is absolutely limited to how much of a sample you can have before you get into different music rights fees.
And how do they get away with it on Saturday night?
They pay. You see, you can also do a thing where you're paying per cut, where you go ahead and give a list of what you paid and all that and pay per cut. And you can also do licenses where you're allowed a certain amount of music. You know, the negotiations can be endless as far as that goes. But believe me, they're paying their music rights. But on the bumpers, no, we're not able to do them.
And the Little Milton song, was that the title? Was it called The Classic Blind Man?
No, it's just called Blind Man. 1964 on Checker.
I wish you could have played that all the way through. Even
I couldn't have
heard.
Well,
it talks about bad things that
no,
happened.
No, I know the song. Believe me, I know the song. But here is the deal: you need to get yourself online. Then you can listen to these things all you want. So make that
I'm
your
scared.
Project.
Honestly, I'm afraid. I'm afraid my phone will get hacked or ransom spyware or something.
No, if you have a phone, you can be online with it.
I'm getting the same scam phone call that your friend Jim.
Yeah, well, just ignore them. Obviously, don't
that,
get scammed
that one from
by
the tax company.
Right. Don't get scammed by people. But by all means, you've got a phone, so certainly you can go to YouTube and go ahead and pick out any song you want. Now, if you don't subscribe, you know, to their little monthly fee, you hear a bunch of commercials. But and if you want to subscribe to their monthly fee, it's like $15 a month or something like that. I pay for it. You can do that. But even for free, as long as you'll sit through the commercial, you can hear pretty much any damn song you want anytime you want to hear it.
Yeah.
So do it.
Yeah, pay a bill.
Well, no, there won't be any bills. I mean, you've got a phone, you've got a digital connection to something. Just, you know, pick out your browser, whatever it is. If it's an iPhone, then you know, use Safari, and if it's an Android, use Chrome or something, whatever you want. And just go to youtube.com and you can put in the title and the artist. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of you.
I have to get a phone and internet and a 2-year contract.
Well, no, you don't have to do any of that. By the way, phones, as far as that goes, you can use the MVNOs. These are the companies that use the big name networks, but they're not necessarily the big name company. They may be owned by it. For instance, Visible is owned by Verizon, and that's for $35 a month. You pretty much got unlimited data and calls.
What about consumer wire?
Well, they're out there too. You can choose whoever you want. Now, what you want to do is find out who's their backbone. What company are they using? Because that may matter depending on where you are. But the way it is now, it's almost agnostic, really. So some people like consumer wireless as far as that goes, and that's fine. Depending with consumer wireless, traditionally, you may be using AT&T towers, or you may be using T-Mobile towers, and you're probably on 4G, LTE or something like that, and that's perfectly fine. So I think they may now be all AT&T. AT&T. And, you know, if that will work for you, if you, as long as you're in an area where you can get that service, then it shouldn't be a problem. I think they were originally with T-Mobile, and then they now have switched, and they're all AT&T. And I think their plans start at like $20 a month. The deal on the MVNO is you get all the towers that the underlying company owns, but you don't get their roaming partners. So there can be some holes, but when you're talking about you're in suburban Chicago or whatever, there are not going to be any holes. And, you know, it wouldn't matter if you're using one like Visible as Verizon or, you know, you got Mint, you got so many as far as that goes. You know, so you can check that out. And it's cheap and there are no contracts.
Right.
You know, so that that may be a way to do it. Mint is T-Mobile, by the way. So, you know, but they own it now. Just the big companies realize that people don't want two-year contracts and all these expensive things, so they pretty much bought a lot of the MVNOs and brought them in-house. Like Verizon started Visible, but then they also bought all of the stuff that Carlos Slim had, like TracFone and Straight Talk and all that, and that's now in-house for them. It's four or five people. So that's the... You can do this. You just have to decide you want to. So I wouldn't worry about starting a website or do anything like that. I'd worry about coming into the 21st century and actually getting you a phone that you can use. And there are problems with YouTube that make it somewhat difficult when you can't see it. But people do it all the time. So where there's a will, there's a way.
Wasn't you saying to Jim that there's like an app that you can use your cell phone and it'll look at something? And
well, of course. Well, that you know, he's got an iPhone, and yes, it will absolutely speak to him. So
could you look at sheet music with it and have it read?
That
it
I don't. I or? Well, I don't know if there's an app for it. There may be. It's fairly specialized. So I'll look if is there an accessible app for sheet music. It's an interesting question. Let's see if I come up with anything.
While you're doing that, I want to ask you, what do you think about people that are teaching broadcasters and announcers to like introduce music? And
you can't teach it. White note is an alternative way to provide accessible sheet music, and it can be scanned. It's a free application. It's used to read files aloud. So there are apparently others as well, and we could maybe next week someone will call in and tell us, and maybe Fran knows. In fact, Fran's on hold. She knows so much more than I ever will
like
about this.
Special paper you're saying?
No, there's also SM Music Reader and Sheet Music Scanner. And SM Music Reader is available for iPhones. You can download it for free. There's also a version for Androids, and there are some differences in how they work between the two, but that allows you to read the music from a music XML file with a screen reader like VoiceOver or something like that, which is on the phone. But hang on, let me get Fran in this, but don't go away. Stay where you are. And then we'll bring Fran into this. We'll know a lot more than I do. But yeah, when he started out of thinking I'm starting a website, oh no, he is long away from that. So we'll talk to Dave and we'll bring Fran in on this, and then we'll also get your requests. And we've got Russ and Carl and let's see. Oh, and David wants to talk about Joan Baez. Why? All right, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
A broken heart is why I sing this song to you. So you and all the world would know why I have let you go. They say I'm a robin of the radio, little darling, because I've fallen in love with you. They say it's strange for true love to be so young. Well, everybody says that you've got blue eyes, but your eyes are really brown like mine. Well, everybody says that you're unhappy, but with me you really look so fine. They say I'm Robin of the Cradle, little darling, because I'm
say. Is it strange for true love to be so young? Well, they all say that I'm out of line, 'cause I want to make you mine.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Tony Bellis, Robin the Cradle. Yes, on NRC, Atlanta label, 1959. Billy Bob and Bourbon A wanted to hear that. Well, now he has. All right, so we've got Dave on the north side here. You still with us, Dave?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, and we're welcoming Fran in Austin. So, Fran, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right. Well, here we go. All right. So, what can you do for Dave?
Well, I'm not sure because I'm trying to make sense out of what it is you're trying to do. At first, I thought you were trying to learn how to read music in Braille, and I was going to suggest that you check out the Hadley School for the Blind. They have a course there on Braille music that you can take. Unfortunately, when you said that you hadn't gone past second grade Braille, I realized that's not going to work for you. So, yeah. But I was already on the phone, on the call when I, you know, when I heard that.
I've been to Hadley. Their requirement is to go through first, second, computerized, and whatever else before you get anywhere near sheet music.
Yeah, yeah, and they're right. Yeah. You can't, it would be difficult to learn Braille music if, you know, you've got to master Braille first.
Exactly.
Now, I personally don't know how to read Braille music. I'm blind from birth. I went to a school for the blind until I was in fifth grade, and then I went to public school. And just about the time, you know, and I was into music from the time I was in kindergarten. I was singing and doing various things and playing piano. And we were just about to learn Braille music when I moved from Los Angeles to the Bay Area and went to public school. And so, but I had gotten so used to learning by ear at that point. When I went to college, I decided, well, you know, because I was doing a little more complicated music, and I thought, well, I'll try to learn how to read Braille music. I tried for about a month, and I said, it's getting in my way. Mm. You know, I'm used to hearing it. I'm used to feeling it. A lot of times I'm in a choir with people who can see, who can read music. And I'm not trying to be, you know, bragging or anything, but a lot of times I pick it up quicker than they can because they're reading it, I'm hearing it, and I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that just takes me kind of one step away from the music. So, to me, I don't care about Braille music. I don't know it, never learned it, and don't care to at this point.
And this raises an interesting question, Dave. Why do you want to read it? Why do you need to read it?
Because, like I said, I can learn a song like in 5 minutes, versus to having to learn it by ear. See, like right now, my cassette deck just died on me, and cassette decks are really hard to find to buy a new one or use one. My CD player just died on me, so I'm basically using the radio. And, you know,
do you mind
like
if I ask
said,
you how long have you been blind?
Since I was a child. I was born with sight. I slowly lost my eyesight over the years. I have RP.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay.
Comatosa.
Yeah.
It's like night blindness, daytime.
I know what that is. A lot of my friends have it. Yep.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know what to tell you because I always found that, you know, I just always learn by ear.
Yeah, I know most musicians that learn by ear are usually much better than people. Like I said, I just want to because I don't want to pay to take lessons to learn song after song. I want to learn thousands of songs. And like I said, I can't see, so I mostly remember it. But
well, by the way,
if I knew the notation, I could learn it so much faster.
Thousands of songs are not necessarily on sheet music as far as current stuff.
Yeah,
well,
not only that.
Yeah,
I mean, if you listen to a song on the radio and say and you like the song, chances are you might not know all the right words, But if you're just singing to the radio, who cares? As long as you're enjoying yourself and singing, you know, unless you want to go be in a band or something, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I play with musicians and I play in open mics and stuff, and so I want to sound like the record, not like, you know, some of this just trying
well,
to play it.
Well, I'll tell you, it sounds like there's no shortcut if you want to do this. And again, you started saying you wanted a website, and you're so different from that at this point in time. Don't even be thinking about starting websites.
If you don't have any computer knowledge.
Yeah, you don't want to do of this.
I wouldn't try to do a site, and I.
You have a lot of community, exactly. Yeah, and it's just well beyond what you're trying to do. You know, it sounds like learning Braille and actually then using some of the apps that will Braille the music would be the best way to go. But it's a question of whether you're willing to sit down and learn it.
Yeah, you've got to really, you know, and it's harder to learn, I know, because I've watched a lot of people transition from, you know, sighted to blind.
Yeah.
And it's harder to learn Braille when you're older.
And everything else, just like it's harder to learn a foreign language.
Yeah.
Our brains just don't do that anymore.
So, yeah, we're not as flexible.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes our fingers don't work as well.
Right.
Various other things. Better if you're gonna have to learn Braille, it's better to do it when I did it when I was 7 years old.
Right. Of course, but you know he's not, and so here we are.
No, so it's not gonna work.
Right. And so you know, failing that, I guess, like I say, I see some apps that look like they can translate without Braille. How good they are, I don't know, but they're online. But you can't really be thinking about anything until, Dave, you get online and you're comfortable doing searches and being online.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the best in the world, but I can do it.
Of course you can.
I'm terrible at searching YouTube. Oh, my God.
Oh, well, because YouTube is classically inaccessible. It's just terrible. You know, and so I wouldn't have him do that first time out, no.
No. But also, you know, you can train your ear to memorize music, because I have to memorize. At one time, I had to memorize music for 4 different choirs.
Whoa.
So
yeah, with me, when I play the horns, if I want to learn a song, I know the melody, I know the music, and I can hear like half of the words. I can hear like half of a verse, and then I just kind of remember the melody to the rest of it. So
I'm sorry. I wish I could have been more helpful,
Yeah, absolutely have been helpful. And if nothing else, we're telling him what not to do. So, because like I say, going back to this, thinking about his first call saying, I want to start a website. I'm like, no, you don't. That's not where you are at this point. Get up to speed with being comfortable being online.
I mean, just an idea. But I was like, really just want it for myself. I mean, I want it for other people, but selfishly, I want it for myself just so I can get better.
Well, you're not going to be able to create it for yourself. You're going to have to learn it somewhere else first.
Yeah, but everyone else I've talked to, they said you can't do it because of infringement of copyright.
No, don't even worry about that. I mean,
you're not even at that point.
Right, right. Don't say, gee, I can't do it because of this. No, you can't do it because you're not ready to do it.
You got to learn Braille.
You got to learn a lot of things.
If I were in your position, I wouldn't want to do it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but at the very least, you have to be fully comfortable being online before you start saying, I'm going to have a site and do this stuff. And the other thing is you're going to have to know it. You can't do a site and learn it while you're doing it. So I would say spend your time finding a way to get online and staying there, and then finding sites that will help you do what you want to do.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I think I might try and take the step of being brave enough to get a phone and get internet service.
Well, that's a first step. Absolutely. So, yeah.
I'm scared. I'm in Chicago, and most people are on Wi-Fi, and
you're very fortunate. In Chicago, you have the Lighthouse for the Blind. And they will help you with things like that.
That's true.
No, they won't help me. I've already been there. They've helped me.
I've
accident.
Okay.
Why won't they help you? Why did they give up on you?
After being tested, I don't have the skills, and I'm older, and...
Well, it's up to you to develop the skills, and you don't need anyone but yourself to do that. You know, getting online, there's nothing frightening about this. As long as you, you know, protect yourself with common sense, you don't have to fall to scams.
Yeah, but as far as the lighthouse, I don't have, like, the speed. I'm too slow for, and I don't have a job and stuff like that where I would be able to, music in. I tried 20 years ago, and the counselors would not sponsor me financially so I could go to college and learn music because they've had other people fail. It's an answer they told
me. Well, and you don't have to go to college to learn music, you see.
I know, but they would not. I even told them I had teachers and stuff, and yeah, they wanted financially.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's the way to go, but I will say that no matter what, get yourself online, be familiar with it, be comfortable with it, and then go from there. All right. Dave, thanks for calling.
Hey, one last thing about what I said earlier about the teaching the broadcasters the music. The thing is, the introduction to the song, when they're not singing, they start the song. A lot of the broadcasters talk over.
Well, you're supposed to talk up to the post, of course.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do that.
Because
people don't do it.
The most important.
That's an art,
of the song.
A lost art.
Yeah, no, they're not doing it like the old good music formats where you got 2 seconds of downtime between the cuts and then the intros were silent. No, the jocks are going to talk over the intros, and like I say, the good ones will hit the post just exquisitely. Real Don Steele was great at that, But that's that's the deal. So no, you're not going to find anybody who says I'll be quiet so you hear the intro. It's not like that.
But that's the most important part of the
well,
song.
Well, then,
you,
the
you got to buy the CD or
right.
get it online.
Thank you. Exactly. Buy the CD, get it online. But if you're listening to the radio, you're not going to hear that. If you do, I'd fire the person.
It's like when you read a book. The first sentence is the most important.
All right, fine. Well, I'm just telling you, if you want to put somebody out of work, tell them just don't talk over the intros. Meanwhile, I'll tell them to crush and roll. All right, so we will go with it there. Report back after you're online and have had some success with it.
Okay, one last thing about the music, about the broadcaster, is I called once before, and they told me that if someone's not singing, they consider it dead air.
Well, no, that's not true.
Yeah, no, that's... I thought
well, no,
was,
no,
like,
no,
music
no, nobody would say that as far as...
So it did.
Well, whoever
someone,
they were, you're
called,
talking to the wrong people.
I forget what station I called, but someone actually told me that.
Well, but they should treat it like dead air if they're the jock. As far as that goes, maybe you misunderstood what he was saying to you. All right.
So you're saying because they're not singing that they consider it dead air and that's why they talk over it.
Well, no. All right, fine. Anyway, let me know when you have your computer and you're comfortable with it, and we'll all cheer you on at that point.
All right,
thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so... Fran, thank you for your kindness. I don't know what to say.
Call next week.
And I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay
bye. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Like a dream to me that somehow came true, and I know tomorrow will still be the same, 'cause we've had a life of love that won't ever change. Special way. all my heart away with a smile. Take time to tell me you really care, and we'll share tomorrow together.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Luther Vandross, Always and Forever, 1994 on Epic, and Marianne in Chicago said, anything by Luther Vandross. And I thought, well, I'll find something. And I did. I hope she liked it. Of course, that was Heat Wave who had the big hit, but that was Luther's version. So 888-876-5593. Is David and Winthrop Harbor still with us, or did you bail?
No, I'm with you.
Well, all right. So what's up?
Johnny Baez. I had a request for Joe Hill, but then I was...
I'm not going to be playing any Joni Baez.
Okay.
You got the wrong
all
show.
Right. We won't go there.
Right.
Do you know... Let me ask you, do you like Johnny Harold?
Why don't
Bluegrass?
I even know? No.
Bluegrass? No?
Not familiar, but for the most part, most Bluegrass, no.
What's your opinion of Harry Chapin?
He did some interesting songs, but these are, you know, I thought Taxi was a great song. I don't think I'd want to play it as a bumper. WOLD was magnificent,
Yes. What about Story of a Life?
Nah. Okay. I have a limited amount of them.
I'm picking your brain.
Okay,
right
well,
now.
I just gave you the
How
two.
About Donovan?
None.
What's your opinion? None. Hank Williams Sr.?
Yeah, of course, a lot of the stuff, more so as a writer than a performer, but even as a performer, you betcha, some of those records are terrific.
Okay, here we go. Here's my request. I don't think you'll refuse me on this.
Let me hear it.
Can we, Woody Guthrie?
No way.
Buffalo Blues?
No way. Now you're getting into that commie leftist folk music. I don't play it.
All right. All right. So you're not in the folk?
No. Any of that.
Country.
Now, by the way.
How about Johnny Cash?
Some of it. Ballad of a Teenage Queen, the early stuff, yes.
Yeah,
but
I like that. Yeah,
let me also say that on this folk stuff, if it's clever enough lyrics, even though I disagree with it entirely, I might love
which
it. Like
one,
No, we're talking about Chad Mitchell Trio right now. I like Barry's voice.
Oh.
I disagree with every sentiment in it, but I love the song because it's clever. Draft Dodger Rag, especially Pete Seeger's version. I love it because the lyrics that Phil Oakes wrote were clever. Disagree with everything he said, but the lyrics were great.
Are you more into lyrics or music?
In terms of anything in the folk thing, it's only going to be because the lyrics are that clever.
So I haven't gone.
I'm not going to like the music. You know,
okay.
You're not going to hear me play the women folks in little boxes. Not going to be happening. So no.
How about Teenage Queen?
Yeah, Ballad of a Teenage Queen. I would play for you next week at some point. I would absolutely play that record.
That'd work.
Okay.
That'd work.
But no, that other stuff. All no, right. Find it somewhere else.
No. Well,
it's all over the internet. All right. I'll play the Ballad of a Teenage Queen for you. You betcha. All right. Thanks. Appreciate
all
it.
Right.
All right. So.
Peace.
Oh, man, 888-WOODY-GUTHRIE. Not a chance, 888-876-5593. Russ in Des Plaines, welcome to WGN Radio. All right, we lost Russ, so I don't know what his request was, but he'll call next week, hopefully, and we'll find out exactly what it is. All right, so let's see. Boyer in Nashville has a request for us. What you got, Boyer?
Okay, the song is, there are different versions of it, River, Stay Away From My Door.
Which version you want?
The Charlie Rich version.
Okay.
It's very early. You know Charlie Rich, Silver Fox?
I know. I was his promotion
This
manager.
Is way before he became country pop.
Like I say, I was his promotion manager. I'm very well aware of his
career.
Yes, I'm very well aware of his career. All right. And yes, you're talking about the Sun stuff. And I'll be happy to do that next week.
Okay, I'll let the next person get on.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it.
And I think we're going to be closing it out tonight real quickly. I asked Carl to call back with a report on slipping and sliding on the road. So, Carl, you're still safe. What's going on?
Yeah, hey, Raleigh. Long story short, I vowed I wouldn't slip and fall. And, of course, what happened this afternoon.
Oh, no.
And so my left pinky finger is rather swollen right now because I
fell right
somehow
on.
I hit that when I was breaking my fall.
Yeah.
How am I going to wear my pinky mobster ring now?
Well,
impossible.
Well, just wait a week. It will calm down. And after all, if the knuckle stays up a little, it'll just keep it in better place. But
I'm thinking maybe an X-ray tomorrow. I don't know.
Well, if it feels, obviously I'm no doctor, don't trust me, but if it feels substantially worse, of course. But, hopefully tomorrow you'll get up and it feels better and it's not going to be any weird color.
Hey, a quick thing here. I just want to say that I have great empathy for the callers with their various challenges. It makes me feel grateful for what I've got.
You're so right. You are so right.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. So on that note, apologies to James and everybody else still hanging on. But Monday night, we have 3 hours of Monday Night Trivia. And I'll check and I'll let you know online if that's not the case. Actually, I can check that right now. Let's see. Oh, no. We will be delayed by a half hour Monday for Monday Night Trivia. That'll be on the 10th. So I will speak to you then live. It'll be replayed tomorrow night. Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling, even when I turned down your requests. I'm Raleigh James. That's a wrap. It's WGN Radio.